With sanctions lifting, Iran goes shopping. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global focus on business and the economy now. Iran's president is heading to Europe this week with a long shopping list now that many economic sanctions on his country are being removed by the U.S. and Europe. In one announcement, Iranians are set to get some fresh new airliners to refurbish its geriatric fleets, and the work could go to the European consortium Airbus. Iranian officials say they could order 114 new Airbus jets, including possibly the double-decker huge one, the A380. Amir Paivar, business correspondent for the Persian service of the BBC, says Iranian officials are talking expansively. They're trying to make a case internally that limits to its nuclear program in exchange for lifting sanctions is a strategy that is already bearing ripe fruit.
There will be finalized contracts, namely in steel, energy, and construction, because some of those companies have been negotiating with Iranian partners under the radar. Many other deals will be just the start of negotiations that may one day result in actual final contracts.
It sounds like the Iranians are not ruling out buying some U.S.-made airplanes from perhaps Boeing sometime in the future.
Iranian Deputy Transport Minister was very clear, saying that they want to buy more than 100 Boeing aircraft, with President Obama making an exemption in those primary sanctions. That may seem more and more possible in near future.
Amir Paivar at the BBC, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Oil is down 3.4% now to about $31 a barrel, a drop that still does not fully reverse Friday's big rally. The oil services company Halliburton will announce quarterly profits this morning. What's happening to energy companies like Halliburton is a case study into why sharper, lower fuel prices aren't helping the U.S. economy as much as expected. Marketplace's Andy Euler explains.
Seems pretty simple, right? Cheaper oil means lower gas prices, which means you can spend gas money on other stuff, an economic stimulus. Thomas Tunstall is an energy expert at the University of Texas, San Antonio. He says,
I got tired of hearing people say, well, yeah, oil prices are going down, but consumer spending will make up the difference. And I thought, I don't think so.
And the amount they're saving is a pretty modest impact on the economy.
That's David Goldwyn, an energy consultant. He says the damage to the oil industry is much greater than the benefits to consumers. And those hit the hardest were the oil field service companies, like Halliburton.
What happened when the price of oil dropped is the price that producers were willing to pay the service industry for their services dropped dramatically.
That means cutting jobs and dropping wages. Baker Hughes, another drilling services company which Halliburton is buying, said this week it would be laying off 11% of its workforce, 7,000 people. That hurts the whole economy. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
California, it's water conservation whiplash. It's been pouring because of this season's El Nino weather pattern, but the experts say that doesn't mean the drought has gone away, and all this makes planning very tricky. Sarah Gardner paid a visit to Santa Barbara to see how that city is dealing with wet in the context of dry.
The first time I reported on drought in Santa Barbara was 1990. Lawn watering was illegal. Water police patrolled the streets. Some people were painting lawns green. The mayor had even exhorted residents to shower less often, a call not exactly embraced by her constituents.
I'm not going to go every 3 or 4 days for a shower because I was taught in school that you needed to shower at least once a day. And I don't think we're reverting back to the 1900s.
26 years later, the former mayor still doesn't shower every day. Unnecessary, says Sheila Lodge. Fortunately for her, that nearly 7-year drought ended in a deluge. It rained so much in March of 92, they called it the March Miracle, and Santa Barbara ended up closing a brand new $35 million desalination plant.
We did run the desal plant for 6 weeks after it was completed, but the reservoirs were full. Desalinating water takes a lot of power, so it's expensive.
It's still expensive, but the city is now spending over $50 million to reactivate the plant.
What's this? This used to be the control room. It had some old 386 computers in here, that had a storage capacity less than your iPhone.
The city's water manager, Joshua Hagmark, walks me around the grounds of the old plant a few blocks from the Pacific Ocean. With El Nino threatening near biblical rains, I ask Hagmark and the current mayor whether they fear a replay of the 1990s, Mayor Helene Schneider.
I do hear, you know, well, the last time you put the desal plant up, it rained.
But Schneider and Hagmark both insist this time's different. They've promoted the desalination plant as part of a long-term strategy to diversify the city's water sources.
We have a much better understanding today than we did before about the cyclical nature of droughts. And certainly with climate change, the severity of the drought, that's different.
But Madeline Ward, the city's water conservation coordinator, admits a strong El Nino season could complicate the city's drought strategy.
We do have a lot of questions about El Nino, and I think people tend to get a little distracted and they might lose focus on the long term.
If residents here want to focus on rain, Ward says, she'll try to shift their focus to capturing it so the city's drought policies don't drown. In Santa Barbara, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And two companies that do electronics in buildings are reportedly talking about a big merger. Johnson Controls and Tyco think thermostats and burglar alarms. If a merger happens, Johnson Controls of Milwaukee would get a tax-saving address in Dublin, Ireland, which means the deal, among other things, could be considered one of those controversial maneuvers known as an inversion. In the 1990s, Tyco grew massively through a wild series of acquisitions, and its high-flying CEO at the time, Dennis Kozlowski, would later go to jail in a corruption scandal. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.